Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on Saturday, September 24th, 2016. This is episode 1325. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/techguy and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit with their limited time offer. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device at gazelle.com today. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/techguy. Well, hey, how are you today? It is, yes, the weekend and your worst nightmare. A geek with his own radio show. No, but I, hi, I'm Leo Laporte, and this is the Tech Guy Show. I promise I will endeavor in every moment of this show to speak plain talk, not geek, but I confess, it's hard to hide it. Yes, I have tape holding my glasses together. I am a geek. I got pocket protectors, and I got a lot of boards and doohickeys. I love technology, and I love sharing technology with you, talking about it. One of the things we talk about on the show all the time is the hard things, the things that don't work. And I've been doing this for more than 20 years. And one thing I know is that, technology doesn't always work, frequently doesn't, and it's never your fault. Please don't blame yourself. I think people tend to, I must be dumb. I don't understand this. Must be my fault. No, if you don't understand something, if you're not getting something working properly, it's because those guys, the people who made the technology, didn't do their job of making it easier. So what I do, what I like to do is to sit as a bridge between technology companies, technology products, and us, the people, the users, because I are one. And I love technology. And I, just like you, I'm tearing my hair out all the time. We have lots to talk about today on the show. I am thrilled to be playing with the new Apple Watch and the new iPhone. It's so funny because it's such a love-hate relationship I have with Apple. And if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me both praise them and complain about them. I guess that's probably true of every technology company. Apple can be very frustrating. On the one hand, we've got to praise them over the decades. They're, 25? Almost 30, actually, yeah, 30 years old next year. Wow. Right? 1977? Wow. Was that 40 years? I can't do math either. 40 years old. So they've been around a long, that's a long time for a company, right? And they've had some amazing successes. They were the first to put the personal computer in people's homes with the Apple I and then the Apple II. There were others, but Apple really popularized it. In fact, that's really the story of Apple still to this day. Apple may not be the first to bring you a new product, but generally what they try to do is to do it right, the first to do it right. So the Macintosh, the iPod, there were other music players, digital music players, but they were the first that were really usable. Trust me, I remember that very well. The iPhone. That's really the signature invention of Apple. At this point, the most successful technology product in the history of the world. Revolutionized everything. And it was complete. Nobody saw that coming. They really brought us into the 21st century when they came out with the iPhone in 2007. iPad. There have been some really amazing products from Apple because they are good at not just, perfecting technology, but even maybe better at packaging it and marketing it and making it something that people want and can use. So while I was upset about the loss of a headphone jack, for instance, in the new iPhone, about the kind of, as many have complained, the lack of innovation in the new iPhone, I have to say, it's still a beautiful object. You know, really, their design sense is second to none. It's a gorgeous object. They put in the features people want. I would, you know, I would perhaps like to see a more sophisticated operating system and software, but it gets the job done. I mocked them over Messages, and yet I find myself using it, this new Messages that came in iOS 10. And by the way, even if you have an older iPhone or an older iPad or a Mac, you can use Messages, the new Messages features. But it really shines on the new iPhone. And it's as silly as it seems, it's really fun. By the way, that's how Apple gets me and you. Everybody I know, everybody in my family uses an iPhone. I'm the Android guy, right? And I'm left out. I'm left out. I can't use all these fancy Messages features on Android. I can't. If they use them, I can't see it. If I use it, you know, I can't use it at all. I can use it on Facebook Messenger or something. But so the fact that Apple's built this in, it kind of incents you to become part of the Apple universe. And that's kind of what I've found, you know, using a Mac, using an iPhone, using an iPad, even an Apple Watch, which I've criticized frequently for being kind of dopey and less than useful. Apple's perfected it a little bit. WatchOS 3 is a big improvement, and the new watches are fast, about twice as fast, and they streamlined the user interface. That was a big part of the problem, was it was hard to do anything on this little tiny screen with these couple of knobs. So they made it simpler, and it's a great health device. I don't know. I go kicking and screaming, but I have to say, as I've been using it, I've been very impressed, very impressed. And boy, they got me sucked into the ecosystem, you know. And that's, I guess, the one thing I would caution people. You know, you buy things on iTunes, now you have to have an Apple device to play them back. You buy iTunes TV shows and movies, you have to use an Apple TV to watch it on your big screen. You can't watch it on anything else. I feel like that's kind of user hostile. If in the best of all worlds, everything would work with everything, you could buy a movie on iTunes and play it back on your Roku. You understand why Apple doesn't do that for business reasons. It's often where I find myself, really, is caught between a company that has legitimate reasons to maximize profits, sometimes at the cost to the consumer of convenience the consumer's rights, privacy rights, that kind of thing. So I stand sometimes between the users, of which I am definitely a one, and the companies. And I can't defend the companies, and yet it's absolutely their right to maximize profits. It's their duty to their stockholders. And Apple's, there's no doubt, Apple's good at that. Their stock has gone way up since the iPhone. It was actually quite interesting. I thought they would take a little hit in sales because of the lack of the headphone port. Boy, was I wrong. Once again, the best-selling iPhone ever. What is it? The jet black? Is that it? The new piano black finish? What is it? The design is the same. Screen is brighter and has more colors. The processor is a lot faster. But I don't see people saying, oh, my phone is so slow. I don't know if we need a faster processor. Apple's amazing in their ability to do that. The new A10 Fusion chip in the new iPhone 7's 60% faster than the iPhone 6. It's about 30% faster than the iPhone 6 Plus. So big improvements in that. Battery life is better. That's a big one for me. One of the reasons, really, I use an iPhone 7 Plus, the big iPhones, is battery life. And they're selling so well that you can't even get one now, right? The 7 Plus sold out. I'm hearing people are able occasionally to go into the Apple store. They get shipments on a regular basis, sometimes several times a day. Sometimes a new 7 Plus comes in. May not be the color or size storage you want. But if you ordered online from an Apple, the Apple website today, you'd be talking late next month. No, not even next month. You'd be talking in November before you get one. And, you know, credit to Apple. They know how to make a product people want, even if they take away something so fundamental as the headphone port. Nobody seems to be worried about that. It kind of surprises me a little bit. Anyway, that's the kinds of things that we talk about, and I just want to emphasize, I'm here on your side. I'm not here to fluff the tech industry or puff them up or promote them. I love technology, so I'm kind of naturally bullish on it. But I also recognize how hard it is for a lot of us, and I'll be glad to help you. We want you to get the most out of it because it can change your life. All right. Enough of me blathering. I want to take your calls. We got some great stuff coming up for you in the show, including Johnny Jet's travel segment. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And on the line, Ann from El Cajon, California. Hi, Ann.
Oh, hi.
Welcome.
Yeah, I had something happen that is strange. You know how you get paper sometimes when you're printing, it'll get caught, and then you have to pull it out? Mm-hmm. And I've never had a problem. You just pull it out, and then the copy machine will be, like, blinking, and then you just kind of, you know, turn it on and off. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Well,
what happened was then it was like I tried to reprint something, and I'm printing it off of my laptop, an article I wanted to copy. And it was like it was just dead. And it works as far as if I lift up the lid and I want to like print, I put a newspaper under there or something. It still pulls paper through and works that way, but it won't work off if I want to copy something off of my laptop. So I went to the devices and printers, and where it has device, one of the devices, it looks like it's an icon I have an Acer PC, and I clicked the troubleshooting there. And it says here, problem detected with Synaptics HID device.
That's your trackpad.
Oh.
That's not even your printer.
What that even meant.
That's your trackpad.
I always use a mouse.
Is it a laptop?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that trackpad, which you never use, that's what it's having trouble with. It's not related to your printer jam at all.
How weird, because, that's very – well, then also where it has a picture of my printer, you know, a little icon. When I click that, it says printer offline.
Ah, yeah. It's still offline from the jam. Yeah.
And so, but it's okay now. The paper's out of it, and it pulls paper through, like I said, when I just want to put something
– You could print a test sheet. You could print a test sheet and all that.
Yeah, everything works, except it won't print anything from the computer.
Yeah.
Like but then when I hit view details under that, it said Windows – it says location on USB input device.
Is the printer connected directly via a USB cable?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so that's all plugged in. I turned everything off and started over, but it didn't help. But anyway, and then it says here, Windows has stopped this device because it has reported problems.
Ah. That actually may be related to the Synaptics failure. So that's interesting. You may have some hardware failure on the motherboard of your computer. I'm not going to leap to that conclusion.
Uh-huh.
Before we do that, what I would suggest is uninstall the printer. You know, in your control panel, you can remove a printer and reinstall it. You don't need to use the software that – don't need a disk that came with your printer. You should be able to get that from – what kind of printer is it?
It is a HP.
Okay. So it depends. Some computers, sometimes on Windows, you can remove it and then add a printer, and it will auto-detect it and download the right driver. If it does that, fine. Otherwise, you'll go to hp.com and download the printer driver for that printer. So, in other words, you're going to reinstall your printer software, just in case. That's always kind of a...
It says driver error.
Yeah.
The driver where? In the printer?
Well, we don't know, because I'm a little concerned that there's a larger USB issue. But let's do remember what I said, let's do the easy things first, which is anytime I have problems with a printer, one of the first things I do, and it fixes it most of the time, is uninstall the printer, remove it. Basically, you're clearing the print spool, you're getting rid of the driver, and you're starting over, and then reinstall it. And sometimes the operating system will do that automatically. Sometimes you'll have to download the software from... HP.com in this case.
Okay.
Either way,
okay.
It's free. Now, if that doesn't fix it, then there might be a larger issue. It sounds like, I'm hearing a problem with your Synaptics. That's your mouse, your trackpad, but it may also be connected via USB internally. So it could be your USB hub is a problem. Of course, you've restarted the printer, right? The computer, right? So when you call the tech support guy, the IT guy, he always says, restart the printer and restart the computer. And you did that.
I did,
Okay, of course you did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm suspecting, let's not go to the USB problem. That would be a hardware issue. A little harder to fix. It might be that you can do it in software. Might be that there's a problem. I would first start by uninstalling the print driver and reinstalling it.
Okay.
All right.
And then, so that would that cause it to take the printer offline?
Only while it's missing. But as soon as you reinstall it, see what happens when you install a printer is it goes out and looks, and it goes, oh yeah, I see that printer.
Mm-hmm.
It'll even have it print a test page and all that. Now, if it still doesn't, then there may be a USB issue. Try a different USB port, okay. For instance. Plug it into you have more than one, so plug it into every one at a time and see if you can see the printer.
Oh, all right. Okay.
The other thing you can do, and now we're going to get into more advanced territory that sometimes is a little challenging, but we can look at the device manager. On Windows PCs, there's software that manages all these devices.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest way to get to that is to right-click on My Computer, the My Computer icon, and select Properties, and click the Device Manager tab, and look at and make sure there's no red X's or triangles, yellow triangles with exclamation marks. Those indicate driver issues, and you may see one next to your USB hub or one of your USB devices. If that's the case, this could be an issue, hardware issue or software issue. Then you want to delete those drivers. Click them, right-click them, and delete them.
Uh-huh.
And reboot the computer. Windows will go, wait a minute, where'd my driver go? Reinstall it. With any luck, that'll fix it.
Okay, great.
So those are the easy things to do. The next thing is you got to bring it into somebody and have them look at the...
Yeah, I was wondering now, if this doesn't work, what's the best place to take something like this? Just to like a Staples? Or
boy, I wish I knew. There's money to be made. You don't really have much choice. You could take it to the what do they call them, the Geek Squad at Best Buy or Staples has... And, it's kind of hit or miss. You can get good people there and you can get bad people there. It's just unpredictable. But it's in most cases, that's all you got.
Yeah. Now, would I need to take the printer in with me or just the,
I wouldn't because they'll have a printer there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So just take in the computer. And just,
Say, I'm getting this error on the Synaptics port. I'm having trouble printing. I see this USB error. Can you check? And, they may back up your data before you bring it in because... If you're going to leave it there,
Okay, great.
They may wipe it. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My pleasure. I
stayed on. Yay. Thank you for hanging on. I appreciate it. I know sometimes it's a long time before I get to you. I appreciate your patience. Now, if you're listening and you want to call in and talk about it, don't, because we're on vacation this week and these are pre-recorded calls. But you can always go to the website, techguylabs.com. That's alive 24/7. Add your thoughts, your comments, and every show's there, day by day, hour by hour, even caller by caller. So go to the seek the call you want and add your thoughts. I love that when you do. And there's no charge, no sign up. TechGuyLabs.com. Scott Wilkinson, home theater guru. Coming up in just a bit, more your calls too. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Back to the phones we go. Thanking everybody for hanging on. You're all very patient. Lorna's next in beautiful San Diego. Hi, Lorna.
Hi, how are you, Leah?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for your patience.
Good. Okay, first of all, the iPhone 7 Plus. I have the iPhone 6 Plus, so you really think I should just cancel my order?
Well, you're going to be mad at me if you do, and then you try a friend's. My general advice is you're going to be mad at me if you cancel it, and then your friends say, hey, this thing's great. So I don't want to be the guy who says don't get it. My advice... My advice to most people is every other year is plenty. I had a little buyer's remorse because I was using the 6S Plus, and I got the 7 Plus, and it was like, gosh, it's just pretty much exactly the same. I'll tell you what's different. New camera. Now,
I understand the camera's supposed to be really an improvement.
Well, no. It's the same camera. Okay, let's put it this way. It's basically the same quality, but now they've got two lenses. So you can shoot at the regular lens, which was effectively 28 millimeter, kind of wide. And then they have a 56 millimeter zoomed in 2X. That is kind of nice. I mean, camera phones don't typically have good zoom.
Yeah.
So that is a nice feature. They claim they're going to have more later, like this new portrait mode, but it's not available yet. In theory, you could do a lot with two lenses. We thought they'd do more, frankly. All they're doing is just giving you effectively two lenses. The other change, of course, is the home button. It doesn't move anymore. Now, that's going to be good for waterproofing, and this is waterproof, which is nice.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either. I've never jumped in the pool with my phone. My son has.
Right.
But I haven't. I've never dropped it in a toilet. But if you're prone to that, that would be a good feature. That is apparently something people really want. The phone, the button doesn't physically move. It's got a little engine. And if you've used a MacBook or if you used an Apple Watch, it's just like that. It's a little that makes you think kind of it clicked, but not real. You know better. You just like a little bzz, just to let you know.
Yeah.
The biggest change is, of course, they're dropping the headphone port. And
right, and I never use the headphones.
Then that wouldn't matter to you at all. Apple really sees us with a wireless future. Ultimately, they want you to use Bluetooth. And I think that...
Right, yeah.
So, you know, when you get a new iPhone, you also get the benefits of future-proofing. This is going to work with the newer headphones. And, you know, it's got a faster processor. I have to say, though, Yeah. Well, do you feel like your current one's slow?
Sometimes, yeah. And also, they said if I turn in my 6 Plus, that I'll probably get the 7 Plus practically for free. Or is that kind of misleading?
If that's the case, it depends on your deal with the carrier.
Yeah, I have Verizon.
It may be that you're paying them every month for your phone anyway. In which case, it's just a swap.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. I mean... You know, I paid for the phone when I got it, but...
Well, if it really is free, I would definitely do it. What I'm saying is it's not worth $1,000.
But they won't tell me how much the 6 Plus is worth until I get the new phone because I can't turn in the old one.
Right, they want to see. If it's in pretty good shape, then maybe it will be, mostly.
It is, yeah. It's in very good shape.
You keep it in a case and, you know, it's not beat up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have
a
6 Plus, not a 6S Plus.
God, I don't know. What's
Did you get it a year ago or 2 years ago? Last year's.
I can't remember.
Last year's was the S.
Yeah.
And the year before was just the 6. I would say if you have a 6 Plus, yes, upgrade.
Oh, okay.
This is
because they said my contract was up, so I assume.
Oh yeah. It's been 2 years. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is 60% faster. This is like a lot faster.
Oh my God. Okay.
Now,
next question.
I never feel like my phone is slow, so I don't know if, for me, that's much benefit. But if you feel like your phone's a little sluggish, this will make a big difference.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm in the market for a new computer, and I love, you know, a laptop. I need a larger monitor for the type of business I run. I work at home. So I just you know, don't know whether I should just go with another laptop or get a...
Do you use Windows or Mac?
I use Windows.
And you need two for work?
Well, I'm thinking, I do all my business now on a laptop, but I'm thinking I really should have a bigger monitor, which is not...
Almost all laptops will allow you to dock them to a bigger monitor.
So, I don't...
So you can you carry it around portably, and then when you get home, you attach it, and suddenly you've got a big screen, and you've got a real keyboard and a real mouse. So that's why, by the way...
I don't have to get a regular computer.
No, you can get... If you like a laptop, still get a laptop. Make sure you get a laptop that supports an external monitor, keyboard, and mouse. Almost all of them do. And then it's as trivial. You get home. The easiest one is the Microsoft's own solution, the Surface, either the Surface Pro 4 or the Surface Book, because Microsoft's... That's what I use. They sell a little dock. So you get home... The dock charges it and connects to the monitor, so you don't have to connect anything. You just put the charger on, And now you're connected to the big screen and the keyboard and the mouse. You don't even have to open the laptop up.
So you're saying to get a Microsoft Surface versus I have a Dell Latitude right now.
Yeah, Dell has, I mean, you can do that. I would look into whatever docking solution. You can do it with any computer, but then you'd have to connect the monitor, keyboard, and mouse. And the nice thing about the way Microsoft's done it is you just plug in the power, and it automatically turns on the screen and the keyboard and the mouse.
Oh, wow.
Now, I have to say Microsoft's a little spendy. They're, you know, these are premium, but the Surface Book has a lot of nice features. You can detach the screen to make it a tablet if you want. It comes with a pen. Or the Surface Pro, which is more of a tablety computer with a portable screen. I mean, a portable keyboard.
Okay.
The advantage of that is the dock. But there are other, many computers have docks. Lenovo's do docks. I think there's probably a Dell with a dock. Yeah, somebody's telling me the XPS, which is, my favorite Windows laptop, the Dell XPS, either the 13 or the 15-inch. And somebody in the chat room says, "Oh yeah, they have a dock for that."
So then you just buy the monitor separately.
Yep, and get a Dell monitor. They're very good.
Okay. Oh, I thought I had to get two computers.
No, in fact, you don't want to, because then you got to have duplicate your data and all this. Yeah, Dell sells laptop docking stations. I did not know this, and I will have to get one because I love the Dell XPS. And this is very simple. You plug it in. And all of a sudden, you're working on a desktop computer.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that.
Isn't that nice?
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. My pleasure. So I've just spent about $4,000 of your money.
Yeah.
Depending on...
Have a great trip to Russia.
Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait.
I'm so jealous. I want to go there someday.
You know, for me, I don't know why. I got the travel bug very young. My parents took me to Europe when I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
And I just, right. Now I it's like I crave travel. So we do it. I make myself and my wife makes me do it. So I don't wait.
No, I've been all over the world.
Good.
I haven't been to Russia, but
yeah.
Going business class makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, that's quite an expense. you kind of go when you see the bill. But, the fact that you could sleep on the way there is just,
yeah.
I don't do it unless I'm going on a long flight.
No, I know. I agree. You have a great trip. Thank you so much for your help.
Thanks for the call. Enjoy your new stuff. Yeah, if you can get a good deal. Well, okay. By the way, there's one other way to know if you're going from an iPhone 6 Plus or a 6S Plus, 3D Touch. So if you have an iPhone that when you press it hard, it goes zzz, And stuff pops up. That's the 3D Touch feature. That started with a 6S. So if yours doesn't do that, that, by the way, is another good reason to get the 7. That is a big upgrade. And Apple, to their credit, is all in on this. And most apps now are smart enough. For instance, if I 3D Touch my mail app on the iPhone, it pops up my VIPs, the people I email the most. It also pops up a menu that says New Message Search. And then gives me a list of new messages in the mailboxes I care about. All of those are those are nice features. So I guess my recommendation is, and it's based solely on how much it's going to cost, because these are expensive phones. If you have last year's model, it's not such a big upgrade. If you're 2 years old, I think you should get it. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Today's Tech Guy podcast brought to you, as often it is, by the Ring Video Doorbell. Love our Ring Video Doorbell. We have one at home. And I, although I am no handyman, I installed it myself. I'm pretty proud of that. Of course, they said, you know, normally it takes about half an hour to install. It took me an hour. Because But it's really, frankly, if I had to do it now, I can do it in 10 minutes. You take the old doorbell off. And, you know, no matter how nice the house you have, the front doorbell, for some reason, you know, they got drips of paint on it or it's kind of falling off there. It always seems like they're kind of nasty. So and ours was, I just took it off, just a couple of screws. Then there's two wires coming out of the door. Very easy. The Ring Video Doorbell kit comes with everything you need, the screwdriver, even a drill bit if you have to drill. I didn't have to. All I had to do is put the back plate up, trim the wires through the middle, put them on the terminals. It's actually a much nicer installation, and then mount the video doorbell. Now, the wires in the doorbell, if you have a power doorbell, are enough to keep to power the Ring. They also make a Ring that has a battery in it, so you can use it somewhere where there's not a wired doorbell. And the battery will last a year. It's lithium ion. You can charge it. They even include the USB cable, so you can run out and charge it with a battery or something, and then you get another year of it. In both cases, whether it's the Ring Pro without the battery or the original Ring with the battery, you've got an HD camera. The Pro has a 1080p, the original Ring 720p, a microphone, and a very clear speaker. Now, I'll tell you why that's a great thing. Oh, and motion sensors. So when somebody comes up your drive, comes up the doorstep, and you can set this for how sensitive it is, what areas it looks at, you will get a little ping. Oh, I forgot to mention, the most important part of the install, you connect it to your Wi-Fi. So it's online. And by the way, that's how Ring will push updates. They automatically push updates to your Ring video doorbell. And it's how you're going to get a notification on your Ring app. It's on iOS or Android or Mac or Windows. And you get a notification that there's somebody walking up your steps. If they ring the doorbell, it goes ding, ding, ding on your phone or your tablet or your computer. And I love this. Anytime there's somebody at your door, whether they ring it or not, you could press the talk button and say, yeah, what is it? Now, by the way, that's fun to see people sneaking up to your house and you go, hi, can I help you? They run. It's a great way to keep an eye on packages, things on your doorstep, or just protect your house. It's, you know, kind of a known fact that burglars will always walk up, ring the doorbell, and if you don't answer, that's when they go around back and break in. And oh, by the way, when they go around back, that's where you have the Ring stick-up cam. The stick-up cam is just like a Ring video doorbell without the doorbell. It's camera, microphone, speaker. It's got motion sensor. You can keep an eye on any part of your house you can't see with a doorbell. It's a stick-up cam because you don't have to wire it, because they also have a solar panel that'll keep it charged, even at night. It's got great night vision. It's amazing. I mean, it really is the best way to keep an eye on your perimeter, as they say. And when somebody rings your doorbell, you could say, hey, can you leave the package there? You can actually interact with them as if you're home, even though in many cases you're not. I'm so glad we're about to go on vacation that we have the Ring video doorbell. Right now is a good time because you can get a kit that includes the doorbell, an HD stick-up cam, a solar panel for it, and the chime, which is really nice. The chime allows you to add a doorbell anywhere that's within Wi-Fi, so you can put it out in the shop or in the attic or the basement, anywhere you can't hear the regular doorbell. They also offer an illuminated solar security sign. The big, and it lights up at night. It says Ring, and it's a great way to deter intruders even before they come near your door. I think burglars now know about the Ring video doorbell. To find out more about the Ring video doorbell, we've got some great deals for you. The Ring of Security kits, you'll see them at Ring, R-I-N-G, ring.com/tech guy. And you can save up to $150 off if you go there right now. Ring.com/tech guy. This would be a great, I'm going to send one to my mom, my 83-year-old mom, so she doesn't have to get up when somebody comes to the door. She can say, you know, leave it there. My grandson will pick it up when he comes over this afternoon after school. Things like that. Awesome. And it gives her a real sense of peace of mind. Ring.com/tech guy. We thank them for their support of the Tech Guy podcast. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You are, well, let's see here. You are Richard in Crystal. Crystal Leo, what? It looks Florida. Like Crystal Liver. That can't be right. Crystal River, Florida. There's a typo. How are things in Crystal Liver?
Well, a little better than a kidney. How about that, Leo?
It's good to talk to you. Thanks for calling, Richard. What can I do for you?
Thanks. So I have a DVR at my house in Orlando, and I travel pretty hard every week remotely. And I have a security cam that I can pipe into by dialing into an IP address.
Yeah.
And there's a username and password. But because I'm not on a static IP, about every 2 months I'll dial in. It says, sorry, network not found. So I have a neighbor run across the street, and he gives me the new numbers, and then I pipe them in, and sure enough, within a minute, I'm back online again for another 60 days.
Your internet service provider doesn't guarantee your IP address. You have what's called a dynamic IP address, and almost everybody in the country has one. They don't guarantee they'll change it either, and they don't necessarily do it on schedule. It's just unpredictable. If you want a unchanging IP address, you can, for a significant cost, go to your internet service provider and say, I would like an unchanging IP address. generally speaking, that's cost prohibitive. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, and as a business, if you were looking for, I guess, multiple parameters, if you had a POS or...
I do it. I do it because I have servers at home, and I don't want them to move around, right?
Right.
There is a service, though, that solves this problem. It's called DynDNS, D-Y-N-D-N-S dot... Actually, it's dyn.com, but you could Google DynDNS because there's several providers, but the DynDNS guy is dyn.com. And what it does is you put a little software on your PC that's monitoring your IP address, queries it from time to time, and when it changes, it goes, whoo! And it sends a ping out to the DynDNS service, which is a remote service, saying, here's the new IP address. And then sometimes your software on the other end will automatically do it correctly, or you'll route it through DynDNS, or sometimes you do it manually and log in. But it's a way to keep track of it. You may even have a router that does this. My Asus router has DynDNS, Dynamic DNS built in, and will automatically ping me. So you can either pay for a service, a monthly fee or a yearly fee. It's not very expensive. Or you may have a service built into your router. But that's the solution to this.
So there's no okay. So that, it sounds like that's the right there.
Yeah, that's the best solution. I mean, I pay for a static IP address because I don't want to go through that. I want to know what my IP address is and have it automatically resolve. And most businesses do. If you're running a server, of course you don't want your customers to have to say, well, where is he now? You want to have me at the same place, so you pay for a static IP address. Most businesses will do that. And frankly, that camera, that's a server. Right? Mm-hmm. It's serving a video from your house.
So the question on that then is, other than paying my neighbor, a beverage of his choice every now and then to walk across the street.
He's your handmade DynDNS. There are some free ones. Somebody's sending me a link on the chat room. No-IP.biz. They offer a free dynamic DNS service. I don't know how good they are. There's duckdns.org, not related to the Duck Dynasty, I don't think. And as I said, many routers do it. So there's ways to do this. This is not an uncommon situation. A lot of people have game servers, for instance, and they want people to join them. So
let me ask you one question related to that.
Sure.
And in the old days, and I say old, I'm talking about back to the AOL days, but now we're talking about with internet providers. It used to be that people in the sticks had to really, they didn't really have service unless you went to a satellite, kind of a direct / dish / company.
Yeah.
What's the competition now like today? Is it getting better?
Yeah, so here's how the landscape has changed. First of all, we don't like satellite providers for a number of reasons. There's a lot of latency because your signal's going all the way up to the space and back down.
Stratosphere.
Yeah, so it's bad for Skype. It's bad for gaming. Also, most of them have somewhat limited bandwidth, so they often have fair use policies that mean basically bandwidth caps. There are better satellite providers now than there used to be. WildBlue by Exceed, or is it Exceed by WildBlue? I can never remember. Is a very fast, very good satellite service. But like all services, they require expensive additional equipment like a dish and a decoder. And they have limitations. The landscape's changed a little bit, primarily thanks to cellular providers who offer fairly high-speed internet over cell carrier systems like LTE. Often LTE is better than your home internet, but those aren't cheap because, and you can't be in a completely rural area. You have to be in an area served by LTE and a provider, although, they have a lot of incentive to do that. So a lot more coverage than.
Maybe LTE will be in Crystal River sometime soon.
Crystal River needs, you don't have LTE, you have no phone carriage there? No cell phones?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we're just out. The problem is with our facilities, we're on 20 acres and it doesn't seem like they're very they don't want to drive the line out from
Their
poles.
You're never going to get a cable company or a phone company to provide it because the population density is so low that it doesn't justify the extreme cost of trenching or putting up poles. So you have phone service, and that's probably mostly because of government intervention. You remember in the Depression. Well, you were too young, but I remember in the Depression, we had something called the Rural Electrification Project. This was part of the WPA that Roosevelt created, putting people back to work and providing electricity to rural areas. That was a huge success, and now almost everywhere in the country has electricity. We've done somewhat the same thing with phone service. But it's not most company for-profit companies look at you and they go, I'm not going to trench out to you. It's hundreds of dollars a foot. So wireless is your best solution. There's a third solution that there are a number of carriers that are called WISPs or wireless internet service providers. They often use radio or microwave. Microwave requires line of sight, but if you can, if you're in a flat enough area, and I think you are, you can put up a tower and get line of sight to a mountain that would give you very high speed internet. But you should, you can inquire if there's a WISP around. So those are your choices. Satellite, in my opinion, is really the last resort nowadays. Okay. Yeah, although Wild Blue is very fast and very good. It's just expensive.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll take a look. I appreciate you taking the call today.
Hey, my pleasure.
As Forrest Gump would say, what is vacation, Leo? You never.
I love my work. I don't, you know, but my wife needs a vacation. So I thought, what the heck? I'll go with her.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate your calling. Thanks so much. This is it's interesting. We're going to watch with interest because the Federal Communications Commission has a national broadband plan. And they have a definition of broadband, and they really recognize that just as electrification was vital in the 20s and 30s, 1920s and 30s, that in the 2020s, universal internet access is going to be vital. I mean, it really is. It's vital. It's more than a luxury, in my opinion. And I think that increasingly people agree. So the FCC has a plan to effectively do rural internetification, because you're not going to get Comcast. You know, we lived in the country a few years ago. We were outside of Comcast, the cable company's range, and I asked them how much it would cost. We weren't that far. It was a long driveway, basically. There was cable on the road going by, but we were up a long driveway, $5,000, and we'd have to pay it. And so in many cases, and of course, that's when you were close to the road. We were just a mile out of town. Phone company has the same problem. They can give you phone service, but it's very expensive to do DSL because it has to be nearby. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls coming up. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We get back to work. Back to work, Leo. With Naomi, Denver, Colorado. Hi, Naomi.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, I'm ready to go all in on the Nexus Google, and I guess they call it Gen 6 now. It used to be the Marlin, or now it's a Pixel. I'm not quite sure what they call it.
Well, it's all rumors, so we don't know, but the current consensus rumor is it was codenamed Sailfish and Marlin. We believe those will be the Pixel and the Pixel XL. These are the new Google phones. We think, we don't know for sure, that the announcement will be October 4th, which is in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about going with Fi, so... Now,
this I will agree with. So this is Google's own phone service, and in order to use it, you have to have a Google phone. You have to have the Nexus 6, the Nexus 5X, the Nexus 6P, those are the old ones, or presumably the new Pixels. And the reason you want Fi, for instance, I'm about to leave for Europe. So the way Fi pricing works is unique, and I found it to be very affordable. But this will depend on how much data you use. It's $20, flat fee a month, for unlimited voice in the U.S. and text. And you also get low-cost voice calling internationally. So that's $20. That's the minimum you can pay. And then you pay as you go for the data, in effect. You'll tell them up front, well, I expect to use 5 gigs of data. They'll say, well, that's $50, $10 a gig. But they do it fractionally. So if you use, 4.6, you'll pay $46. And they don't charge you for data you don't use, or in effect, they refund it. But once you're in the cycle, it looks like you're not paying for anything you don't use. And that's great. But the even better thing is internationally, if you travel, it's the same price. So no other carrier does this. No other carrier charges you the same for international data as for home. They all charge a premium. Sometimes, like Verizon, a massive premium. So that by so I'll let you know when I get back from Europe how that worked. But I've talked to people who have used it and are very happy. The other thing Fi does that's really unusual is they're reselling. They're an MVNO, which means they're reselling connectivity from other mobile networks. But they're doing several networks. So they do T-Mobile, they do Sprint, and they do U.S. Cellular in the United States. And they do Wi-Fi. So the phone will automatically choose the strongest of any of those as you move around and do the handoff too. So if I'm at home, the call's on Wi-Fi, I go out the door, drive off, it'll switch over to whatever carrier's the strongest transparently without any noticeable shift in anything.
Do I have to stay with the carrier I'm with?
No. I mean, well, you. What do you mean? You go to Google Fi and that you have all of the above and they choose. There is a program, okay, just between you and me, there's a program called Signal Spy that you could put on the phone that will tell you, because Google doesn't, which carrier you're on. It'll tell you which carrier you're on, what band you're on, and let you change the default. You could say, now, you know what, today I'd like to be on Sprint. But I wouldn't because it's choosing, the phone's always choosing the strongest signal.
Out here, we're kind of in the boondocks. Even though we're 6 miles from downtown Denver, or 3 miles as the crow flies, we still have.
Well, so, does Sprint or T-Mobile work at all where you are? Or U.S. Cellular?
No, we're with Verizon because my husband works way out east.
And only Verizon works for him.
Yeah.
The Fi's not a good choice because it does not work with Verizon. It does. I mean, there are clearly the phone. By the way, this is why you have to use their phones. The phones have radios for CDMA, GSM, and LTE. So that's unusual. But they don't have a deal with Verizon. It might roam to Verizon. I don't know what it does if you're outside of those areas.
So I was reading something about their SIM card. You have to have the SIM card.
Yeah.
From them.
Just like any carrier. Once you're now with them, you're Google Fi. That's your carrier.
Okay.
Just like if you're Verizon, you have a Verizon SIM. You have to have the SIM of that carrier. Those phones are unlocked. You could use it with any.
And I'm also thinking about going with Nexus Tablet.
Nexus what? You're breaking up a little bit. I wonder if our phone system's not working too well.
Mine is.
Oh.
Like I said, even though we're 6 miles, it's like we're out in the boondocks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm not even on the cell phone. I'm on a hard landline.
Yeah.
And I used to work for the phone service, so they're probably listening to me, but who knows?
You know, nowadays, phone taps, you can't tell. They don't click anymore. They're much better. Because they do it at the office. It's very easy. You know, they just go in. They say, hey, you mind if we borrow some? Just listen in. No problem. Come on.
Yeah.
Fi only makes sense if you have one of those three works well in the U.S. Now, they've made deals internationally. Like, I'll be on three. In the UK, for instance, that's the deal. And Deutsche Telekom in Germany. So they made deals, but I think for traveling, it's an amazing phone. But yeah, if you have to use Verizon, it's not a good choice.
Yeah.
Rats.
But Rats. Will it work with Verizon?
No. Oh, the phone.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to wait and see because it's not out yet. But it doesn't. The current generations of Nexus phones do not.
Uh huh. Okay.
That's my understanding. Am I actually? Let me ask the chat room. Is anybody using a Nexus phone with Verizon? Because you know what's happened is it used to be that there was CDMA and GSM. Now everybody's moved to LTE. So once you've moved to LTE, these phones will work with anything on LTE. Because it's all the same. So that's the, and Verizon's moved pretty much to LTE. So it may well be that they work. Go to the website, store.google.com. No, Conky says no. That was my memory of it. You go to the website, when the Pixels come out, they may, because they have the right radios, they may work with Verizon. You just have to check.
Because I have the Nexus tablet, even from 2012, and it's still running pretty good. Handoff is terrible, but, you know.
And you're using that on Verizon.
Yeah, huh.
You're using a
variety. The handoff is
yeah.
Bad.
Boy, I just...
My sister's, I've told you about my sister's place. I have to make a call up there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
Yeah, Naomi, it sounds like your ambitions are strong, but the Google is weak.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, thank you for the information.
Yeah.
Do you want me to make you smile with my little voice? I can always do that, you know.
Do not suck helium. It's bad for you.
Anytime you want my voice, since you give everything, I will give you my voice.
We should hire you to do cartoon voices. You're great, Naomi.
I know. If you want to, it's yours. Thank you so much.
Have you done that your whole life?
I don't know. It was just a thing I've always done all my life. They had the cartoon characters, and from a little kid, I started doing little voices like that. I used to read for the blind and do
like that. They'd be very puzzled. Why is there a mouse in my tablet?
Oh, and I read Reading Rainbow for
Fun.
National Educational Television before it was National Public. Oh,
so you have done VO work then?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Neat.
I used to do reading for kids. They love that voice.
All right, now Revo's telling me that the 6P does work with Verizon. So, and maybe the 5X. So here's the deal: when the Pixel comes out in a couple of weeks, it'll say on the website whether it works with Verizon or not. It may well work with Verizon. If it does, it's still a great phone, but you're just not getting the benefits of Google Fi.
Oh, okay.
Actually, they're saying Verizon sells the Nexus phone, so it must work with Verizon.
Great.
All right. Well, at least you can use that phone. The reason, I tell you, I'm more and more sold on using the Nexus or next generation will be called the Pixel phones, is Google's really guaranteeing that they will get all the updates. And as we see, both on iOS and Android, this issue of malware and the need for the carriers to push out those updates as fast as possible, they don't. And many of the manufacturers and carriers do not even update the phones at all. But when you get a Google phone, you're guaranteeing you'll get the updates in the fastest possible time frame. To me, that becomes paramount. So I'm hoping the Pixel will be a great phone, and then there'll be no reason not to get it. But we'll find out October 4th, I think. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We go back to the phones here, and let's see who's been hanging on the longest. Oh, you're all very patient. Eric in Lake Forest, California. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Leo. Okay, so my wife wants one of the Galaxy S7 Edges.
Nice phone.
Buy one.
They're very pretty.
And I hear you talk about it all the time, and I've heard you throw out $850. I've seen the Verizon price. I've seen Costco, and
The Note 7 is $850. The Galaxy S7 is a little older now, so I think you're going to see more price competition. What are you seeing?
Like Costco right now, the most recent one was $795.
Nice.
If I buy it straight out.
$50 less.
So is that a go-to? And then online, I see it for $650, and that scares me.
Yeah, don't be scared. I would. So first of all, do you have a carrier now?
Yes, I'm with Verizon.
Verizon. So you need to get one that's Verizon compatible.
Correct.
And Verizon's funny about this. They really want you to buy it from them.
Right.
What I would look, I would go to AmazonWireless.com. Amazon sells phones, and they sell phones for carriers, and they're usually pretty aggressive. So that'll give you a good sense of what the prices are anyway. You're right. An unlocked Galaxy S7, you might be able to find it cheaper than the Verizon phone, but whether Verizon would accept it is another matter.
So the AmazonWireless.com is a safe bet. I don't have anything to worry about.
Absolutely. No, I always get stuff there. In fact, most of the places selling them, the real trick for you, I don't think you're going to get scammed. Don't buy it on eBay.
Okay. No. Yeah. I don't want anything to use. Yeah.
But Expansys, Expansys, very reputable retailer. They sell unlocked phones. But the real issue is going to be for you is going to be Verizon, frankly. But you'll see if you go to Amazon Wireless, they have contract cell phones. That's what you want. Phones that work on the Verizon network. Let me just see the Galaxy S7 Edge. I do love this phone. It's a beautiful phone. And what a great phone.
Right. Yeah, she's been hearing that and is kind of sold on it.
I see one for Verizon, 32 gigs, $629.
Wow. Yeah,
that's the black one. She wants titanium, $698. So okay. There's
way cheaper than the $795.
Yeah, no, this is a good price, $629, and it's from Amazon. It's through Amazon. And the thing is, they stand behind it. Yeah, it looks like it's directly through Samsung. And it's for Verizon. So actually, it's a company called CRP Mobile. But because Amazon's fulfilling or offering it, generally speaking, you're safe there. I wouldn't have any problem with doing that.
That's exactly what I need to hear. Yep. Outstanding. So if I really look for a contract cell phone and it's got Verizon listed in the ad, then I'm safe.
Yeah. Then you can activate it through Verizon. Now, by the way, the good news is these are all 32 gigabyte, but you can put an SD card in there. So storage is not a concern.
Okay, so just go with the minimum and then just...
You don't have a choice. I think they only, unless I'm mistaken, I think they only sold 32 gigabytes, come to think of it. That was the only form factor. Hey, I think she's going to enjoy it. It's a great phone, beautiful phone.
I hope so.
Yeah. You're a good husband.
All right, thank you.
Doing all the work. All right, take care.
I'm trying.
Bye, Eric. Dan is in Cypress, California. He's next. Hi, Dan. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Long-time listener, first-time caller here.
All right. Get close to the microphone. It's getting a little thin. I don't know if there's a wireless issue or what. What can I do for you? There you go. Much better. Much better.
Okay. So I've been a Nexus user. I love Nexus phones. I just got the 6P. And then I upgraded, or I bought a Chromebook from Dell, the new one, the 14.
Good choice.
Seemed like the nicest one.
Very nice. Yeah, they're aluminum. They're really nice. Yeah.
Couldn't find the Pixel, so.
Pixel's $1,299 at store.google.com. I can't recommend. I have it. I love it. But it's a lot of money for a Chromebook. I think the Dell's fine.
They were out of them.
Oh, all right. Maybe that's interesting. Maybe they got a new one coming. All right.
Yeah, maybe. So I was under the impression that basically I would be able to mimic my phone, my Android phone, on the Chromebook.
So what they're going to do is not mimic your phone. You won't be able to make phone calls on a Chromebook, but they are going to put the Google Play Store on there. They haven't done it yet. Any day now. They were about a month late doing it in the pre-release, so it may be, who knows. But when that happens, you'll just get it. It'll be an app, and you can launch it, and almost any Android app will work on your Chromebook. There's a very – now, I played with it in pre-release. There's a variation in how they work. Some, like Google's own Snapstream, which is a photo editor, a wonderful photo editor – are screen independent, so you can full screen it. It will be just like a full screen app on your Chromebook. It's awesome. Some you're going to look like they're on a phone. They're going to be a little, you're going to have a little window on your Chromebook that'll be phone shaped, and you'll be using it that way. But it does give you almost all of the apps with a few restrictions will work on a Chromebook. But that's not out yet. It's coming out soon.
So I just need to be looking for that.
Yeah, it'll just happen.
All right, good. I'm relieved.
Yeah, and I think that Dell is going to be, if you want, you can go to the Google Chrome OS site, and it has a list of Chromebooks that will work. But it's my understanding that any new Chromebook should work fine. Touch helps, but is not required.
Yeah. Okay, I got touch, too.
All right, good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. I'm a big fan, as you probably know if you listen to the show. I really like hearing people get Chromebooks because sometimes we just overbuy. It's just kind of the automatic thing. Oh, I need a computer. And then in your mind, computer, that's a Windows or a Mac. And fine, but understand when you're buying a computer like that, you're buying a general purpose device. And in order to be a truly general purpose device, that hardware has to be very capable. It means it has to be faster. It has more complexity. The operating system has to be able to do a lot more. And with all of that complexity comes problems, comes issues, comes things you have to solve, security issues. The more powerful a system is, the more difficult it's going to be to use. It's like buying a Lamborghini instead of a Toyota Corolla. Now, I understand you probably would like a Lamborghini, but honestly, what good is a car that has to be in the shop every week? You have to tune it up every time you use it. You have to buy new tires every month. That's not what you want. So let's find to aspire And if you're a gamer, I mean, you know who you are. If you need a Windows PC or a Macintosh PC because of the you're launching rockets, you need a general purpose device. You're a programmer. Okay, fine. But remember, the burden then is on you to support it. Because it's, you know, things will happen. You have to learn security. You have to learn computer, how to use a computer, how to maintain a computer. With Chromebooks, you don't have to learn any of that. It just works. It's limited. It can only do anything that a Chrome browser can do. But increasingly, there's more and more. And once they add the Android Store, that's a pretty broad range of, you know, millions of applications that suddenly are going to work on that device. I think that sounds like a pretty good plan for most people. 8888-ASK-LEO. Leo Laporte. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a new iPhone, right? Are you thinking about getting it, or maybe a Note 7? Now, I think they're shipping. Are they shipping? Finally, shipping unexploding notes. If you're in the market for a new gadget, a new device, a new computer, you want to sell the old one first, right? Or actually, what you'd love to do, wouldn't this be the perfect? Is you get a quote. That quote's guaranteed for 30 days. That gives you some peace of mind. Now, I know I can get $180 for this old, you know, iPhone 6, for instance. And then you can go shopping. Still haven't sent it in, right? Get the new phone. It arrives. You have to wait, right? Because they ship it out. You get the new phone. Transfer the date over. And then you check out. And you say, hey, remember that quote you gave me 3 weeks ago? That's still good. Guaranteed. 30 days. You have 30 days. That's why I love Gazelle. If you have an old gadget, don't throw it in the drawer. Sell it to Gazelle. You get top dollar. They make it as easy as pie. And by the way, the good stuff, the best stuff they get back, they sell as well. So it's actually, you can go there as like a trading store. Get rid of your old phone. Get a new one. This is a great time to buy an iPhone 6S or 6S Plus. Lots of people have sold their old iPhones. They're only a year old to a Gazelle, and you can buy it now from Gazelle.com. When you buy at Gazelle.com, you can do it with complete peace of mind. Every single phone they sell, and they sell iPhones, they sell iPads, they sell Galaxy phones, every single one of them goes through a rigorous 30-point inspection. Make sure that not only are they in perfect working order, but they're in great shape. And, of course, you have a 30-day return guarantee. They also do now financing. This is new. They do financing with Affirm at checkout. It means just in a couple of, as you're checking out, a couple of clicks of the mouse, you can get financing for 3, 6, or 12 months, which is awesome. They also sell 12-month warranties powered by Assurance Solutions. And these are good warranties. This covers water damage, cracked screens, hardware defects, and more. And all of that is very simple if you go to Gazelle. So to sell or to buy, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, Gazelle.com. We thank them so much for their support of the Tech Guy podcast. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. He is my personal travel guru, Johnny Jett. You'll find him at johnnyjett.com, where you can sign up for his travel newsletter. It's free, full of great deals. He's actually got several. Follow him on Twitter. Great stuff there, too, at Johnny Jett. And if you want beautiful pictures, soon baby pictures, follow him on Instagram, Johnny Jett. Will you put baby pictures up on Instagram? No baby yet, I take it.
Yeah, no baby yet, but yes, of course I will. Actually, I'll have to have a conversation with
somebody. Yeah, you know, people are funny about putting their kids' pictures online.
I would think so, but...
Save them, and then when the kid is 21, you can put them up then and really embarrass him.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
But speaking of beautiful pictures,
yes.
There's a couple apps out there, and one of them you just told me about a couple episodes ago called Photo Card.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to use that on my trip.
So, I mean, I used an app called Postgram, which a lot of people have downloaded.
I've used that too. Photocard is the best for printing. I mean, the printing you get from Photocards. I used to have some, but I think when we moved, they got misplaced. But they're, first of all, they're big. They're 5x7, and they're laminated, and they're printed beautifully because the guy who created it, Bill Atkinson, is a photographer. So he wanted them to really look great. I'm a big fan of Photocard.
That's awesome. So I just downloaded the app, and it says it's a little confusing, by the way, when you first download the app, because you want to click create an account, and it won't let you. So you have to put all your information in first, and then hit create account.
I know.
Then you're in. That's the one little glitch I found.
Good tip.
And also, It cost $1.50 to send postcards in the U.S. or $2.25 outside of the U.S.
You can email them for – actually, it's a nice feature. You can email them for free, and there's a button on there that your recipient can print it. And you can even, if you want, you can say, and if your recipient prints it, then I'll pay for that. So you do buy credits, and I'm going to buy several hundred credits before I leave the country. But what's nice is then I can mail, because you create these cards on your phone, on your iPhone, on your iPad, and I can mail them even if I'm in Russia, and they get mailed in the U.S. So people will get the cards, not with international mail. So that's kind of nice. They'll get right to them. It's really nicely done.
It's nice because it's much quicker, but although I like getting international mail with their stamps.
Well, you don't get that.
But it takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
Also, you can leave a little voice note if you send it via email, which is pretty cool.
And the email, the app is free and the email is free, so you don't have to pay anything. But it's nice to have the ability to print cards. And, of course, that costs money because you got to get them printed and mailed.
And I like the little pop-ups. You can, put little quotes in.
Yeah.
You can put stickers in.
I think if you look closely, one of those stickers is the tech guy. Oh, look at that.
Is it?
Yeah. You know why? Bill is a legend in the computer industry. He's the guy who wrote Quick Mac Paint and the Quick Draw primitives for the first Macintosh. Just remember the early Macintosh team in the 80s. And he came on and he said I really need video to show people how to use this. It's to help them. And I said, Bill, I will do this for free. I'll do this with you because you're such a legend. And HyperCard and the Macintosh changed my life, so I'm glad to help you out. So if you download this and you look at the help videos, you might notice some familiar faces there. Uh-huh.
So I'm going to have to do that.
I don't make any money on this. This is a labor of love because Bill Atkinson is such a hero in my computer history. So, yeah, highly recommend it. You said what other? Postgram? I think I've used that one as well.
Postagram.
Postagram. Okay.
Postagram. Yeah. Postagram. And that's available on Android and iOS. And they charge – the postcards are smaller, so it's a little bit cheaper, 99 cents versus and $1.99.
Yeah, these are from Sincerely. They're kind of interesting because they're little punch-out pictures. They're small, and you punch them out of the postcard, and you can put them on your fridge. If you really want a postcard to last forever, I like photo card. But I've used Postagram, too. It's cool. I'm going to send postcards. I've decided on this trip – I told you.
I want one.
I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to take a bunch of pictures, of course. I'm bringing my cameras. And then I think every day when we get back, we'll see. I'm hoping I will go through them, pick one photo, and then with photo card, you can have a mailing list, and this mail that same photo to everybody on the mailing list. And I think that'll be kind of fun. So you'll get a bunch of cards for my trip. Not that you've not been everywhere I'm going.
But even if I've been there, I want to see him again and live vicariously through you while I'm here at home.
And by the way, for somebody who's about to have a baby, these are good to know about, too, because you're going to take baby pictures on your smartphone, right, on your iPhone. And then this is a great thing to send out a birth announcement, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. So I might be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I know that you know this, but a tip that just came into my head is a lot of people who travel with cameras and especially multiple cameras. Well, actually, the photographers know this, but you'd be surprised how many rookies I've heard, like people going on safari, bringing cameras, and they're checking it in their bag. Ever check a camera or anything of value, especially medicine, money, camera, jewelry, you'll never get it back. So carry it on.
Have you ever lost bags? You travel so much.
I rarely check a bag. So,
oh, that's right. You're the non-checking.
I rarely check them, but I have.
You will be.
I've had to check them before.
You will be.
I have had them delayed. So
traveling times. With a baby, you'd be amazed how many bags you need to bring.
That's one thing I'm not looking forward to.
Yeah, it's hard to travel light with an infant or even a child, frankly.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's worth it. It's worth it.
But speaking of families, by the way, we have time for an app?
Yep.
So I've been looking up, family organization and stuff like this, and people have been telling me Cozy Family. Have you heard of this
one?
Oh,
yes. I highly recommend it. Yep.
Okay, good, because someone put it on one of my friends' boards.
It's COZI, as you said,
It's free. It's on Android, iOS, and Windows, and it just keeps the whole household organized, so you know what appointments are going on, or if there's dates or whatever you need to know. And it'll even remind you to take the trash out the day before, which is nice.
Megan on our team uses it. She has twin boys and a daughter. They're teenagers now, and this is she says it's really good. It's free, but there's a paid version as well.
Yeah, and you can just sign up each person, and each one has a different color-coded dot next to it, and you can add to it. You can add everyone can add to the grocery list, so then when you get to the grocery store, you don't have to keep getting text messages. You can just see what people put in.
COZI Family, and it's iPhone, it's Android, and it's Windows as well.
It's all of them.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think this is a good choice. It's something good for the father to do while he's waiting for the baby to come. But I should warn you that as soon as the baby comes, you're going to be a little disorganized for a while. Just a little.
You should see the house right now. It looks like a bomb hit it.
Yeah.
Trying to get ready.
You got Natalie's mother's down coming down, right?
Sure is.
Yeah, very important. The mother-in-law, very important because she's been there, done that. And she can give you vital things like when not to use safety pins on diapers. Yeah.
It's good. That's good to know.
Good to get that advice up front. And then always when you're changing your boy, always have a separate diaper in your hand just in case. I'm not saying.
I've heard that one too. they actually even make something called like the TP thing that you put over it.
Never happened to me once, but I've heard many people say that. So
me too.
Me too. You know, it's going to be good. Everything's going to be good. Right now, I'm sure you feel like, I don't know what's going on. Maybe you read all those books, What to Expect When You're Expecting and all that.
I took a five-hour breastfeeding class.
I know.
I took all kinds of classes.
It's wonderful. You're going to love every moment of it. And you're going to be, and one thing I do know, because I know you well, and I know Natalie well, you guys are going to be great parents. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're looking forward to it.
Good.
And if you got a second, or we'll do it offline, I got a tech question for you.
I got 20 seconds.
Okay, so have you heard Sage by Hughes? It's Echo Star.
Yes.
So anyway, I got set up with his whole security system.
Nice.
They're going out of business.
Oh.
Sage is going out of business, so they said the app is no longer going to work.
Simply
so
Safe.
So whenever someone opened the door
sponsor,
or window.
Our sponsor, Simply Safe. That's all I'll have time to say. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. On we go with the show. Keith is in Mountain View, California, home of Google. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Leo.
Also the home of the San Francisco 49ers.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. And the Computer History Museum. I was just there. I was at Shoreline Amphitheater for a concert. What can I do for you?
Well, you know, I had a computer that got infected by a virus. It was Allurian or something, but anyway, it affected the master boot record.
That's scary because that means that's a virus that is trying to happen. So even if you cleaned the computer and wiped it and installed a new version of Windows, it might survive.
Yeah, that's
Yikes.
My worry.
That's that terrible. Worry. Yeah.
So I have a couple of questions, and I recall you had said that data is okay, and I guess my question is, I had an external drive that I was backing up things to.
Right.
And I was wondering, could it infect the, is there a master boot record on an external USB drive?
There is not.
Okay.
So you could put one there, but if it's just a USB drive that you've never booted from, no.
Yeah.
By the way, we don't even use a master boot record anymore. We're all GPT now, but still, it's not good to have a virus on your master boot record. Let me explain, though, because it's as with most things, a blanket statement like data is safe isn't quite true. All exploits, all takeovers, all viruses have to get you to run a program, okay? And the program has to execute in such a way that it can then give the bad guy access to your computer, sometimes writing a sector with bad malware on it, like on the master boot record, and just writing that, and then the program's done. It's done its evil deed for the day. So in general, we say as long as you're not running a program, well, you're okay. There's an exception. Programs that have a big, fat bug in them can sometimes be triggered by a data file. So I'm looking at you, Adobe Reader. I'm looking at you, Flash. I'm looking at you, Windows DLLs. These are programs, for instance, there was a problem with Windows displaying Windows metafiles, which is a graphic file format. If it was specially crafted, it would trigger a bug in the reader on Windows that would then allow a bad guy to exploit your system. So generally speaking, as long as your system is up to date, you have the latest version of anything that goes online is updated, you're safe. The data itself is not deadly. It's just that it can be a specially crafted JPEG or a specially crafted PDF that would then take advantage of a flaw in a program. You still need a program running. So that's way over explaining, but I just want you to understand that your backup drive is probably safe. Make sure, but the key is always making sure that your operating system and any application that goes online is completely up to date. That means Flash, Adobe Reader. It means your browser. It means any plugins in your browser. It means Windows itself. You know, the WMF flaw was terrible because it was a bad DLL that came with Windows, and only Microsoft could fix that. But fortunately, they did. It affected, by the way, every version of Windows since Windows 95. That's how bad it was. Wow.
I did also have another short question.
Sure.
And that is, you know, in the ransomware where they the crypto virus, whatever.
Yeah.
When they encrypt, do they encrypt the whole drive or is it just data files or?
Generally not. Now, of course, ransomware is a category. Crypto wall is just one. Crypto locker is another one. There are many of them. And as with most malware, it's constantly being modified and adapted. So it could be that there. In fact, I think there are some that will encrypt the whole drive, but that takes a while. The easiest, most effective thing to do is just to encrypt the .doc, .jpg, the data files, because that's bad enough, right? You know, those are the ones you don't have copies of unless you have a good backup. So generally speaking, they can do that quickly, they can do it effectively, and you're more likely to give them $300 to unencrypt it than if they encrypted a Windows file, big deal, you'd wipe Windows and start over. It's your data that really is the thing they want.
Okay. All right, great. I've been listening since early, mid-90s.
Wow.
Joining.
Yeah. It's changed a lot, hasn't it? In the early, mid-90s, it was a lot of things about interrupt requests and conflicts. And, you know, there's this thing called the internet. And if you got a slip account, you could turn it into a PPP account with the addition of some special software. And then you just need your WinSock. And, man, you're online. And I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, I do remember WinSock.
WinSock, remember? There was a thing O'Reilly sold called Internet in a Box. And it was a big box. It had a book, An Introduction to the Internet. I think Harley Hahn wrote that. And then it had the software. One of the things was Trumpet WinSock because Windows 95 didn't have any internet access capabilities. You had to add the software to do that. We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Sometimes people say, oh, Leo, your shows are not technical anymore. Well, it's true. We don't have to talk about interrupt conflicts or Trumpet WinSock anymore. I guess I could if it would make you happy. The good news, I think, really, is that technology has advanced to the point where now, instead of talking about these really low-level issues that only a total geek would be interested in, we can talk about content, we could talk about the internet, we could talk about devices, and we don't have to worry so much about what processors in your Galaxy S7 or your iPhone 6S. That doesn't matter so much anymore. We don't have to talk about this stuff. It's at a higher level. And, you know, so I'll still talk about interrupt requests if that makes you happy. I don't know why it would. For me, I'm thrilled not to. Let's go to Millie in Fountain, Colorado. Hi, Millie.
It's Mike.
Mike, you know what? These tiny print, I can't read it anymore.
I know.
Are they making text smaller than they used to?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. Thank you, Mike.
Bonjour, Leo.
Bonjour, Mike. Como ça va? I'm in Paris right now.
Indeed not. Well, you will be,
maybe. When these call, we're pre-recording a little bit. This is a little behind the curtain here. We're pre-recording calls. When this airs, I think I should look. I think actually I'll be in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Ooh, lovely.
I know.
God, I would like to travel.
Oh, it's anyway. So fun. Anyway, go ahead, Mike.
One recommendation on carbonite. For your customers getting the home,
yes,
spend the extra $10 for mirror imaging.
Oh, that's right. They've added that feature where you can actually make a drive image.
Yes.
That is a great tip.
Right. The other thing is Steve Gibson's image for Windows is superb, and it's free for 30 days. And Macrium is a handy tool.
Another great one.
Have in your toolkit.
Yeah, what we're talking about, so there's two kinds of backups, and it's good to do both. Usually you just back up your data. You back up the files, file changes, you back it up. That's what generally people use Carbonite and other backup solutions for. But it's very handy to have an image copy, especially this is what I do. When I first install Windows, I make an image. Then I install the apps that I almost always want, you know, Office and stuff. And then I make an image of that. Now I have two images that can get me back without reinstalling Windows very quickly, within 10 minutes, back to kind of the starting point. The problem with image copying, it's not a long-term backup strategy because, of course, over time, your image gets corrupted and corrupted, and there's all sorts of stuff. You don't want to back up a Windows install that's been going for a year. Who needs an image of that? But it is nice to have one at the beginning. I agree.
I had talked to you previously about going to AHCI.
Yes, I remember that. Thank you for your help there.
Indeed. It was really simple.
And it fixed, hold on, because I got to take a break, but did it fix your problem?
Well, it actually sped up the computer as running programs and the rest of it.
We got to take a break. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, I'm glad to hear that worked.
Yeah, and it was dead simple. You know, of course, I double-checked every move I made to make sure I didn't screw up the
rest. Yeah, but I remember you calling saying, I've heard this would be good. Is this a good thing to do? And I think I equivocated, but I'm glad to hear that it worked.
Yes, it really helped the OCZ speed up.
Nice.
The question I'm calling about today is actually the efficacy. Now, of course, I have now the mirror image.
Yeah.
On OneDrive.
Yeah.
I have the original SSD that had both Windows 10 and Windows 7 on it.
Good.
I transferred it over to the OCZ. I managed to get the anniversary update loaded.
Wow.
And the update to the anniversary update.
Yes. There have been weekly updates since it came out.
Oh, yeah. And there were
nonstop.
One was like 45 minutes to download.
I know. It's crazy. It's like, we didn't get it right. Let's do it again.
But then I made a boo-boo on the OCZ. I went to, I don't know whether it was a software archive or one of the archive sites for software, because I wanted to download a copy of PowerDVD 12.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I punched the button, and all of a sudden I'm getting all this other crap loaded on the machine.
So you did the wrong thing. Never, ever, ever download from those third-party sites.
No. So what I did was I went back into recovery real quick and recovered the whole machine.
Good.
So it got rid of all that cruft and stuff.
Yes.
And then, of course, now I'm stuck with just Windows 10 instead of a dual boot drive. So I pulled out the OCZ, I stuck the SanDisk back in, and I'm back to dual boot, but insufficient room to learn the anniversary update.
Oh, rats.
Well, it's not a problem. I've got mirror image to do it for me. But here's the thing I'm asking. Is it a smart move to dual boot an SSD, or should you only run one operating system?
It's just like a regular hard drive in that regard. I see no reason not to do that.
Okay. So I will go ahead and restore the OCZ then, which means unplugging one of my Blu-ray readers in the computer.
Yeah.
And
you can dual boot an SSD. I don't see any reason not to do that.
Gotcha.
All right.
That's my main thing. But do recommend and remind people that the mirror image is available.
I love that. You know, I just read what the advertiser wants us to do. But I'm meeting with the marketing officer tonight. We're having dinner. So I'll mention that and see if he wants to add that to the ad copy. Because I agree, they should mention that. When somebody buys an ad, I read the ad. They don't want me to pad it. I could pad it. I could say lots of good things. But you know, they have their marketing message. Although it's fine if we want to talk about it on the show afterwards. That's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't just back up three times. I back up four.
Yeah, that's a good for you. Smart.
Yeah. Anyway, you take care.
All right.
Enjoy your trip when you go. Congratulations on the new studio.
Thank you. We're very happy.
Having worked in the performing arts, it looks most amenable to configuration.
Yeah, I'm very proud of my team. They are very good. Hey, 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 Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, all that jazz. The website, techguylabs.com. That's the place. If you hear something on the show, two things sometimes happen. One is, oh, what's that? Let me write that down. Don't even bother, because it's all at techguylabs.com. We have a great team of people. James DeRuvo is writing as I speak right now. He stays home every weekend and listens and writes it all down. Thank you, James. Thank you, James. And then Josh Windisch in my office, he adds audio and video. So it's really all of the content from the show is there on the website, techguylabs.com. But the other reason you might want to use it is you don't need to yell at the radio. So I know it happens. I do it. You're listening to somebody on the radio. Some guy thinks he knows what he's talking about. And you go, wait a minute, you're an idiot. I got to, you know, and so you don't have to do that. Don't have to yell at the radio. Just go to the website. Please don't write you're an idiot. That will hurt my feelings. But you can write Leo is wrong. I'm always interested in that. Leo is wrong. And here's why. And make sure you give us as complete an answer as you can, because the website is a permanent record so that people can go there and get the answers to their questions. There's a great search tool on it. And that's, you know, you're really helping everybody if you say, no, Leo, but try this, that kind of thing. TechGuyLabs.com. I promise my feelings won't be hurt. And then, by the way, I also promise it's free to use, just like the web used to be. Remember, no sign up, no paywall. Just go there, click on it. We divide it up into shows. This is episode 1,325, and then each show by hour, each hour by questions. So it's very easy to get to where you want to be. TechGuyLabs.com. All right, let's go to the phones. Some great people have been hanging on very patiently, like Bon in Beverly Hills. Hello, Bon.
Leo, how are you this afternoon?
I am well. Am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Good.
I have a question regarding laptop and cell phone. Now, I decided to move to a different career, which is real estate, but I did that 30-some-odd years ago. Mm-hmm. But I need a computer.
By the way, obviously it's done very well for you. You're living in Beverly Hills.
I was born and raised here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you go to Beverly Hills High?
No. I went to private school there in San Diego.
All the movie stars go to Beverly Hills High, don't they?
Yeah, well, they drink from the bottle most of them.
Ooh, a little snobbery in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
The guy who grew up there looks down his nose a little bit. At the
You probably want to know.
The new arrivals. Not so welcome. You know, that's true in every community, isn't it?
It is, especially ours.
Yep.
But what I'm thinking about is I have a couple of computers. I have a couple of HPs. One of them, you open it too many times, the screen cracks.
Buy any more HP. Actually,
no, I'm done with it.
I take it back. They were terrible. The ones you got, terrible.
Yep.
It's a whole new company now. You know, they split off the PC division. And I recently bought an HP Spectre. Love it. So I feel like they've kind of realized they were making junk computers, and they've kind of stepped up their game.
No, they kind of turned the corner maybe, but I was out yesterday, and I ran to a young man that had a Panasonic. It's a rugged. It's one used for the military.
The tough books.
Looked at this thing.
Yeah.
This laptop fell 5,000 feet from an aircraft, and it works.
Yeah, no, they're mil-spec. These tough books are amazing, yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, is this... Okay,
do you plan on dropping it out of an airplane?
Yeah, they were trying to... I guess they were shooting and parachuting and something.
But, I mean, do you plan on doing that?
And not in this lifetime.
So what you give up on the tough books is they're heavy.
Well, they have a lightweight one, they say, which is the 54.
Yeah.
But I just, my thing is, I want something that is just durable. I did try the Toshiba for about 3 days. I went back to the market. And then,
you're right. You know, I'm just looking at the 54. It's got LTE in it. It's got mm-hmm. Windows 10, 9-hour battery life. It's light for a tough book. It's 4.2 pounds. You can get mm-hmm. lighter, but that's not awful.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good, actually. Yeah, I'm looking at the specs. USB 3. You can even get a DVD drive in it, which not a lot of computers do anymore. It's only a 1080p screen, only. Mm-hmm. That's fine as far as I'm concerned.
And I think it's is it a 14 or 15-inch?
14-inch, yeah.
14-inch, yeah, which is fine. You know, anything else, I go blind.
Yeah.
So I figure with this, I'm not careless with my electronic equipment, but, you know, my HP, I ran over it. I had to send it back to get it fixed. You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, this is only semi-rugged.
Yeah, that's what they say. Then they're fully rugged. I mean, don't plan on running over it again unless, you know, the ex-wife is under it. So, what I'll do
okay. Yeah, semi-rugged's okay. Semi-rugged's... Yeah. You know, that means it's going to be a little more robust. It's going to be a little less prone to dust, that kind of thing.
Do you think it's a good machine?
Yeah.
It has durability and long-lasting. When I say long-lasting, 3 to 4 years maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've never owned one. They're a little pricier for that toughness, but that if that's what you care about, yeah. I mean, I tend to buy the fragile machines, the thinnest, lightest machine I can find, and just try not to drive over it.
I notice you're a fan of Dell.
I love the Dell XPS, and I would definitely look at those. They're edge-to-edge display. They make a beautiful display. I love Lenovo's as well, although for me, for my money, the best Windows machine out there right now is a Dell XPS.
Okay, I will definitely take a look
at that. But you can't drive over it.
No, damn it. I'm sorry.
Gosh darn it.
You hit the button, I hope. Okay.
Oh, somebody will, yeah. Gosh darn it.
My other question is on cell phones. Now, I've been in the Apple orchard. I ended up with applesauce. 3 Apple phones in less than 1 year.
What?
Yeah.
You are tough on electronics. Holy cow. Did you drop it or just it did failed?
Well, one I did drop, I replaced the glass. Then after it was fine. Then it went south because of the software. Then I had 2 firmware issues. After that, I just stopped. No more Apples. So I went to... I decided to go back to LG.
Very nice. The LG G5 and G4, very nice.
Okay, now this one I got for this time was the LG Vista, which works. It does everything I needed to do.
All right.
But I'm thinking, is it feasible for the future? In other words, for the next year or so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have a lot of RAM and all that, but... A lot of storage, I mean. It's kind of dinky in that regard. It's not very...
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a good-sized battery, decent display. It's a big phone. If you mm-hmm. like it, yeah.
It's okay, because I have big hands, and it's just... The other ones are just really too small.
Yeah.
I
mean, the only thing I can see... By the way, it's pretty rugged, too, which is nice.
Yeah, you drop it, it keeps...
Yeah. The only issue I see is the scant storage. How much... Did mm-hmm. you get... It says 8 gigabytes internal memory, but you could put an SD card. All right. That's not so bad. All right.
Yeah. Got an SD card.
I'm amazed anybody's selling 8 gigabyte phones. That just blows my mind. But
yeah, I know. Now, they have anything that's upgraded from that you recommend?
Yeah, the G5.
The G5, okay.
That's their newest. Amazing phone. And by the way, if you're looking jealously at the iPhone 7's dual camera, the G5 did it first.
Okay.
Very nice phone.
Okay. All
great right. camera. Laser focus is super fast. You know, it's a great Android phone. LG has also, and very important to me, committed to getting the Google security updates out promptly every month. That's something to look for in an Android phone for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I apologize.
Apple's good at, you know, that's the one advantage with Apple. They push those updates out, and the carrier just has to do it. That's the deal they make with Apple. With Android, mm-hmm. it's hit or miss, but the LGs are very good.
Okay, good. Well, that's pretty much all my problems. So I'll go look at the 5, and then I'll go look at the Dell.
Yep.
The Dell's been on my mind for a while.
Just look at it, because when you see that edge-to-edge screen, you'll understand. The only negative on that is they can't put the camera on the top. There's no room. So I call it a nostril cam. The camera's on the lower left under the screen, which means it's shooting up. Now, if you use a lot of Skype and you use the internal camera, that's maybe a negative, something to be aware of.
You have to adjust the screen accordingly.
Yeah, or use an external camera or something, yeah.
Okay, will do.
Hey, thanks. Good to talk to you, Bon.
I'll look at that, and I'll drop you an email and let you know what to come up with.
Hey, would you please? That'd be great. Leo@techguylabs.com. Leo@techguylabs.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of the Tech Guy coming up in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage. They know if you listen to the Tech Guy, you're probably pretty techy, right? The last thing you want to do is go back to the 19th century to get a home loan or do a refi. You'd like to do it all online, right? So would I. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Now, everybody loves Quicken Loans. Year after year, J.D. Power awards for the best loan company in the country. They're just wonderful. And Quicken Loans has created Rocket Mortgage so that you can do it all online. You can actually, with a push of a button, you can send your pay stubs and your check, your checking account information, everything they need to put together a custom solution for you, and you'll get approved in minutes because it's all computerized. This is so much better. The last way we did it was, it feels like we're back to Bob Cratchit with, a little green eye shade and a little sleeve garters and a quill pen saying, well, I'd like to give you a loan, but first you got to give me a box full of papers. And none of that. None of that. Fast. It's powerful. It's completely online. It's perfectly named. It's Rocket Mortgage. Rocket into the 21st century with Rocket Mortgage. Find out more at quickenloans.com/tech guy. Yeah, it's from Quicken Loans. quickenloans.com/tech guy. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. We'd like to thank Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans for their support of the Tech Guy podcast. Now, on with the show. I am Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, and we are ready to take more of your calls. Thank you for hanging on. Wallace in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. Hi, Wallace.
Hi, Leo.
Thanks for hanging on. What can I do for you?
No problem. Say, I wanted to know, I took my computer in for a fix on the hardware, and I wanted to know if possibly the guy could have put something on the computer to monitor my keystrokes or something.
You want to know, and this is always a risk, if you there are two things you can do that are dangerous. One is give a guy remote access control to your computer. And sometimes you'll see this. People will call pretending to be from Microsoft, and they'll ask you for remote control so they can, quote, fix your computer. Now, Microsoft does that legitimately. So does Apple. But you've got to make sure it's you that's calling them. You're actually calling and talking to Microsoft or somebody trusted. Same thing with bringing a computer in. If somebody has physical access to your system, all bets are off. So it's an absolute act of trust. And this is why I have such a hard time recommending computer support people, because I don't know. I don't know them, so I don't know if I can trust them. You might say, well, if I go to Best Buy and use the Geek Squad or, some brand name outfit. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some right. But they still could have a rogue employee. So, yes, it's an act of trust, but there's not much you can do about that if you're going to have somebody fix your computer. It's already been done, right? Did you already do it?
I did.
Yeah. So do you have reason to suspect something nefarious happened?
No, I'm just curious. They get good Yelp reviews and stuff like that. But
yeah, I mean, there's no certification process. There's no national organization of computer techs certifying them. There's no bonding, I mean, you just got to trust them. And anybody who has physical access to your PC, whether it's in your house or at a shop, I mean, I could tell you the things he could do that would be undetectable. He could do things that would be literally impossible for you to find. Having said that, most 99.99999% of these guys are fine, are good, and aren't going to do bad things. One thing you could do that might help, but also might have eliminated the reason you went to the guy in the first place, is wipe the drive and reinstall Windows just to be sure. If you brought it in for hardware repairs, that wouldn't be a bad thing to do. What did he do? What was his job?
He replaced the USB ports.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, but there's even stuff, frankly, he could do to a system that would survive nuking the hard drive and starting over.
Oh.
If you want to be totally paranoid. So, but you know what? We live in a world of trust. You trust people all the time. You trust people not to cross the median strip and plow into you when you drive down the road. You trust, you know, that the guy who made your deli sandwich isn't putting arsenic in there. We have to. So best you can do is look for somebody that looks reputable, has good reviews, and hope to trust them. Most of the time, the worst thing they do is steal your music from the hard drive. If they see music, yeah, they might borrow it. I know that's not uncommon.
Okay.
I think you're probably, I can't tell you one way or the other. Are there things he could have done? Yes.
Of course.
Are there ways to detect what he's done? In many cases, but not 100%, no. There, you could put stuff in firmware. You could put stuff on a master boot record. You could put stuff in. The most devious thing is to put it in the firmware of the video card, which would be very hard to detect. So I don't know what to say. That's a really a great question. It's a difficult thing to know. You can't, people will say, well, I'm going to run malware bytes in my antivirus, and if it comes out clean, I guess I'm all right. It just depends on how far this guy was willing to go. Would he have any occasion to spy on you?
No, not that I know.
Yeah. Who I worry more about is an attractive woman bringing her stuff in. I would worry more about that.
In fact, he recommended that I put on Avast on my computer because he noticed my...
Good, but don't. Don't. I saw the other day on the local news show, they take these, they call them video press kits from companies, and it was produced by another free antivirus related to it, like Avast, but different. And, the first recommendation in this news story was put an antivirus on your system. And most experts no longer say that. That's old news because an antivirus will not protect you. And in fact, Avast is one that could actually cause problems. We've seen both Avast and Norton actually let bad guys into people's systems by doing some of the things they're doing, not having secure software. Literally, Avast is one of them. So, yeah, you actually could reduce your security. You certainly reduce the convenience. The best way to keep a system secure is learning how to compute safely, and that includes updating it regularly, including anything that goes on the internet, not just your operating system, but your browser and any browser plugins. Being very careful about links you click. Do not open attachments that come in the email, no matter who they come from. Be very cautious about email attachments. Be very cautious about links that are sent to you. Remember that iOS exploit last month? That was a very nasty iPhone hack that fortunately we discovered because the guy who received it was in the United Arab Emirates, was a political dissident there who had been targeted before by the government, and he got two suspicious text messages with links, and instead of clicking them, which most people would do, they say it's from your bank or from your boyfriend or whoever, instead of clicking them, which most of us would have done, he was suspicious. He sent it off to the Toronto Monk School in the University of Toronto. They analyzed it, said, yeah, that had you clicked that, you would have put a Trojan on your iPhone that would have allowed the United Arab Emirates government to spy on every sound you made, every move you made, everything you did with your phone. And there's no way to detect it once it's on there. So, yes, we live in a dangerous world, but you also have to trust and be suspicious at the same time. Good luck.
Do you want another question?
Sure.
How do I get a hotspot on limited data?
It depends on your carrier. So hotspotting is, of course, using your phone or other device to provide internet access via Wi-Fi to other devices. The data comes from your carrier. In some cases, carriers will charge you $20 extra. Many cases will charge you to do hotspotting. They'll say, well, you got unlimited. T-Mobile, for instance, says you got unlimited data, but you don't get unlimited data if you're hotspotting. For that, you get a limited amount, and if you want more, we'll charge you. So it really depends on your carrier. And your carriers do have ways of figuring out if you're sharing your internet access. So you can get away with it for a while. Is it an iPhone or Android phone?
Android,
there's lots of apps, if you search the Play Store, that will say, yeah, you can set up hotspotting, and even if your carrier doesn't turn it on, or if your carrier charges for you. But there's always the risk that the carrier will cotton to it and either I mean, for anything from charge you for the extra data to cancel your account permanently. I mean, it could be anything like that. So generally, I recommend people, you know, follow the rules and get the hotspot legitimately by paying for it with your carrier, which is annoying, but usually it's not too expensive. Thanks for the call, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We are going to the tech phones on the line right now to begin us, to kick us off. It's Les from Virginia. Hello, Les. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Good afternoon, Leo.
Hi.
Hey, we've had some positive family events recently. Childbirth, a baptism, a graduation.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd love to have your recommendation on a site, if there is one, through which we can post videos and photos, but people can download them and not just view and stream.
Yeah. So there are a number of choices, obviously. In fact, this has become a big business. What's nice is many of these are free. I use Google Photos for this. One of the reasons Google Photos is great, you can share an album with anybody. And you can share it in two ways. One, read only, so they can do exactly what you talked about. Look at it. And if they choose, they can click the sideways ellipsis. It's a dot, 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 and download the image or the movie. But they can also, and this is too late probably for this, but for future events, you can set up an album that is not only shared but shareable, that they can add to. So if you've got an event, a wedding, a graduation, and you tell people at the event, hey, if you take a good picture, please upload it to this site, you can create an album that everybody can see and that your friends can share to. You can also send invitations out.
That is really great, and I'm already a Photos user. I just wasn't aware of that capability.
Yeah, it's a really nice feature. Now, there are lots of other places you can do the same thing. I have a pro account at SmugMug. A lot of professional photographers use this. And what you can do is create a page. It gives you a lot more templating capabilities. Google Photos looks like Google Photos, nothing else. You can have it password protected, so you could send to family and friends, hey, we've got a special page. I do this with many of my photos. We have a special page. Here's the password to get in, you know, Chris's graduation 2016. And they can. The nice thing about SmugMug, and this is a feature that may be desirable to you, they not only can download them, but SmugMug has a store. And you can say, if you'd like to order a mouse pad, a cup, a T-shirt, a framed photo, a calendar, a variety of different printouts of this photo, SmugMug will do that as well. You set the price. There's a minimum, obviously, the actual cost to SmugMug plus their profit. So you could say, I'm not going to make any money on this, but it will cost you 49 cents or whatever for an 8x10. That's nice, too. Sometimes relatives, especially older relatives, don't really enjoy browsing or may not want to browse, but the fact that they can go there and order a print makes them very happy. It may even just be the little 5x7 prints, the little prints you'd get from the one-hour photo. But for them, that's maybe preferable. So SmugMug.com. There are many other photo sharing sites. Some of them are free. SmugMug is not free for you. It's free for them. But sites like OFOTO, O-F-O-T-O, will allow you to do this for free because they make their money on the sales of prints. I find SmugMug a little bit cheaper and better, really, really good print quality. But you pay for it.
Something like Flickr, that would be just view only.
I think Flickr has downloads. Yeah, no, I think you can download from Flickr. Yeah. Flickr offers a terabyte of data for free. So that's a nice advantage on that. I think there's almost an infinite number of choices here.
I just need to read more carefully. I'm a low-level Flickr user, but a heavy Photos user, and I'll just need to dig a little deeper.
Shutterfly as well. Yeah, if you're already using Flickr, take a look at Flickr. Let me just real quickly look. I think maybe it's a setting. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure you can have downloads on Flickr. I'm just going to log into my Flickr account and see. It's probably up to you to set it that way.
Right.
Because you might. There are cases where you would want to disable that capability. Let me go into one of my photos, and since I'm logged in as myself, I should be able to download it. Yeah, there's a download button right on the photo.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, great. Thanks, Leo. Great options. Appreciate your help.
Oh, my pleasure. This is a perfect example of why photo sharing is so hot. Of course, I should mention, if you're an Apple user, Apple offers this same feature with iCloud. They have even albums and stuff. They took them away when they took away iPhoto, but they've brought them back. So iCloud albums. There's lots of ways to do this. Samsung, I'm sure, has a solution for the Samsung phone users, et cetera, et cetera. I'm a big fan of Google Photos. The other reason why you want to put stuff in Google Photos is free backup, kind of unlimited backup. And I really love the search capabilities. Google Photos uses machine learning to analyze the contents of your photo. So I put all of them for my travel photos there because I can literally search by city. I can say, I want to see all my pictures of Budapest, and they all come up because Google Photo has somehow knows. Maybe that's just from the EXIF information. I'm not sure. But they can. You could say snow. I want pictures of snow, and they have all the pictures of snow. Or I want all the pictures of my son, and you could find them. That's photos.google.com, and that is a free service. Steve, New Jersey, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Steve. Oops, let me push the button. Hey, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks. I have a little house project I'm trying to do. I'm trying to resurrect the dead here. So basically, the whole house is transformed into Mac equipment at this point, with the exception of one last machine, which is on Windows. It was running Windows Vista, and then Windows Vista. Yeah, I know. And because actually I always kept the software in the same generation as the computer, I didn't do the upgrades. I mean, I did the Vista upgrades, but I didn't do upgrades to the other software. Mm-hmm. It ran pretty good up until last week, where last week suddenly it just up and choked. That was the end. So I went to a store here who was still selling Windows 7, and I bought it, and I upgraded it to Windows 7, and the machine is performing okay.
Good.
The question that I have about it is this. It created this subdirectory called Windows.old, and yeah. Windows.old is the entire Vista machine.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, that's the question. What do you do with that? How do I get rid of that? Because that's eaten three quarters of the drive.
Yeah, you could delete it is one thing.
I know it's marked read only, so the only thing I think I can do is go into Explorer and just, you know, not make it read only, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, it preserves it in case, and I think that's wise. Generally, when I do a clean install of a new version of the operating system, in this case, I would have done that. In the installer, you can do custom install, and I wipe the drive. That way you don't get Windows.old. But,
That's what I actually thought I was doing originally, and it asked me the question, do you want to upgrade it or do you want to do a new install? And I said new install.
Right, but that doesn't wipe the drive.
Right.
So, but the reason you can delete Windows.old is because you did that. So the easiest way is not to go into Explorer and change the file settings, but go to the disk cleanup tool.
Okay.
And you'll see previous Windows installations.
And just wipe it out.
And you check that box and you say, I don't want that anymore. So they do make it easy to get rid of. It's the Windows cleanup tool will do that. And if it doesn't for some reason, yes, you're absolutely right. You're the anybody who's the administrator on the machine can make sure you can delete it.
Okay. And now because this machine, like I'm only about 12 hours into the restoration of this machine. Should I wipe it and start again?
Here's the one thing I would mention. The reason it was getting flaky might have been that the hard drive itself was getting a little flaky. So it wouldn't, yeah, I mean, it's up to you. Here's what I would do in a case like that is I would get a program like SpinRite, which is $90. Admittedly, it's expensive, and go through that drive and make sure that it is, that at least any flaky sectors were removed, were put in the bad sector table.
I don't think it was the drive only because what I saw was when it was on Vista, you'd see the drive light come on and stay solid. And then the machine would be totally locked, frozen, to the point where you had to hard boot it. And now, when it's on Windows 7, the drive light is off. It's sitting calm.
Okay. You're probably all right. I mean, you're 12. I hate to waste your 12 hours. My preference, erase, you know, format the drive and start over. But, you know, you're fine. You got a fresh install. It's just that you also have a 20 gigabyte or whatever Windows.old.
Right.
But that's why they put it in the disk cleanup. Look, you have to go in. It might have to go into the more options. I'm not sure where they hide it, but you'll see as you go there.
I have a 300 gigabyte Windows.
Yikes! Get rid of it now. Hey, thanks for the call. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and as always, this time of the day, it's time to say hey to Dickie D, Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. He is our Gizwiz. Hello, Gizwiz.
Leo, how you doing?
I'm great. How's things in New York City?
Things are good, and I have bad news for you, Leo.
Oh, no. Yes.
All the money you're spending on all those ships you're going on.
Yes.
You could get the same effect
yes.
in your own home for under $20.
Magic fingers in the bed. How?
No. I am talking about the Ocean Wave Projector.
Oh. So make yourself sick at home, huh?
Yes, you can. So it's some LEDs.
Yeah.
It's like a bowl-shaped device.
Yeah.
That faces your ceiling.
Okay.
And you dial the color you want.
Is this the Ohuhu?
Yes. Yes. You know what? It wasn't. I bought a more expensive model. But
yeah.
Now the Ohuhu is even cheaper. I believe it's down around $17.
Wow. There are a whole bunch of these, apparently.
Yes. But the Ohuhu looks exactly like mine.
It's got the best name, too.
The best name, too. Exactly. So you can either pick out a blue ocean with waves or a red ocean or a green ocean. The green, I like the green best. It looks like I'm laying at the bottom of a swimming pool.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, you feel like you're under the ocean, right? Because it's projecting it on your ceiling.
On your ceiling. It's like you're under the ocean.
So if you were on a cruise ship and you saw that, you would actually think, oh, my God, we have sunk.
Yeah. Well, no. You could buy an inside cabin. And then
put it on the roof.
And then say to you, look at this is, we say $5,000 and it's the same effect.
Wow. Yeah. The last thing you see is the Ohuhu. I like the name, Ohuhu. Is it the Ohuhu or just the Hoo-Hoo?
Because I think it's the Ohuhu.
It looks like the O could be just a leaf graphic.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's O. In the typed out name, it's Ohuhu.
Ohuhu.
Oh, but you're right. It does look like
O. Yeah, it could be the Hoo-Hoo.
Yeah.
And whoever typed this just didn't know.
Exactly. And if you want to do even more.
Yes.
It comes with a little audio cable and
there's
a built-in speaker in the base of this device.
Does it sing like the ocean?
No. I mean, what do you want for $17?
What does it do?
Basically, what you can do is plug your phone, the headphone jack, into this with the little cable that comes with it, and then play music through your Ohuhu.
Ohuhu.
That will. So you could, get sound effects of ocean. Yeah, there you go.
I'm playing whales.
There you go.
Have you heard? Okay, you wake up in the middle of the night. You forgot you bought the Ohuhu. You hear this. And you look up, and it looks like you're underwater.
Yeah.
Bad
and
dreams.
You say, honey, can you turn over? Because you're snoring.
You sound like a whale.
Right. But wait, there's one more thing.
But wait, there's more. Yes.
It shuts off automatically after 1 hour.
Yeah,
the blue.
You like the blue. It really does. And it waves like you're.
It waves. There's a little plate with improper indentations of all different sizes. And there's a little arm that slides it back and forth over the LEDs.
So it's just like you're underwater.
It's just like you're underwater.
O-M-G.
Underwater, you're drowning for just $17.
Do people do this to because it makes you sleep?
You know what? I think it's very comforting.
I don't understand why being under the water in a swimming pool would be comforting.
Well, it's because it's like
pleasant.
You're at the beach.
Yeah, it's pleasant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
then what music does it come with?
It has to, no music, so don't forget. It comes with the speaker's built into the base.
You would just play your own music through it.
Yes, right. Through a cable that also comes with it.
God.
Now it has three-way power. There's so many features.
It
can run on four AA batteries.
Okay. For portability.
It can run from USB. And they also put an AC to USB plug in there.
Oh, so you can just plug it in your laptop.
Plug it into the wall. Yes, you can run it from your laptop.
So this is very portable. I guess there's a helicopter in with the whales now. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Wait a minute. Is that the soundtrack from Poseidon?
Poseidon Adventure?
Like ship just turned over.
You know, there's a lot of whale song available on YouTube if you wanted to just. And now we have the ocean.
Yeah.
I guess whales sound like helicopters. Yeah.
I do know whale, and the whale is saying $17. That's very reasonable.
What a deal, Dickie D.
Isn't it, Lord?
Yeah. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to tell you how to find out more about this. Dick has an event coming up. So stay here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and Dick DiBartolo, the gadget guy. We're having a whale of a good time. Dick DiBartolo is here, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. He's brought his whale song and his whale light projector.
Just for this spot, I am Moby Dick.
Call me Ishmael DiBartolo. The details on this are at his website, gizwiz.biz. We've got a brand new What the Heck Is It contest. Well, not quite brand new. It's about halfway through right now. Yes. Another month to go till October 31st to identify the gadget of the what is it? The 2 months. What is the
The gadget of the 2 month deal.
Gadget of the 2 month
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
It's not exactly catchy.
The bi-monthly game.
The bi-monthly game of the bi-month. And if you go to GizWiz, that's his website, GIZWIZ.BIZ, you can do that. You can also see, if you click the GizWiz Visits a Tech Guy, you can find the Ooh-hoo-hoo, which is probably the best named product you've brought, and you bring wild product names, but is a great name. Now, you said you have an event coming up. Tell us about that.
We do once a year. We do a meetup at the West 79th Street or the Boat Basin Cafe, rather. It's right there on the Hudson River at 79th Street. And October 2nd is this year's event.
All right, and that's just a week away.
Chad Johnson, who co-host the Giz Whiz, is flying in for that.
Fantastic. And is it free?
It's free. It's free.
But the sandwiches are not free. You got to buy them.
Yeah. Well, I usually buy about $100 worth of beer. But if you want to order food, that's on your own dime.
Oh, that is nice of you.
And we play some games and give away some stuff.
So if you're in the Manhattan area, October 2nd, go to the Boat Basin Cafe from 2 to 4. That's on the Upper West Side there. On what street? 80th? 80th?
It's 79th Street. 79th. The 79th Street Boat Basin is luckily on 79th Street.
Well, otherwise the name would just be very confusing.
No, the station, they had to do it over nine times.
Hope they never have to move. That would be terrible. Right. Yeah. And those are a lot of fun. The last time you had, everybody had mustaches, right, to match yours.
Oh, we had mustaches. And this year we're going to play Hothead.
What's that?
It's a game where you wear a hard hat, and it has all these little spikes in it that is holding back water from a reservoir.
That sounds really dangerous.
And then you put a spinner, and each number of the spinners, you have to pull out a rod, and someone is going to get a wet head. It's called wet head. Someone will get a wet head.
That is horrific. Okay. You don't have to play if you go.
You don't have to. No.
You can just watch. Voluntary. Yeah, totally voluntary. All right, that'll be a lot of fun. Dick will be back next week, so will I. I thank you so much for being here. Actually, next week I think Scott Wilkinson will be filling in for me. But, Dick, I hope you will come by and say hi.
I will.
All right. Thank
you,
everybody.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks again to Heather Hammond, our phone ranger, for answering the phones. To Nathan Staten, our musical director. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on. And on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.